Hello, everybody, and welcome to an overview of the seven rays. We're going to start looking at the actual names of the rays. There are seven. They're color-coded, and the color is important, as is the name. The first ray is known as the ray of will or power. The second one is love, wisdom. The third one, in green, is intelligent activity. And we move on to the fourth, harmony through conflict. The fifth is science and concrete knowledge. The sixth is devotion and idealism. And then order and ceremonial magic as the seventh. Now, it's good to know where they come from, what the source is. And so this is just a very quick way of seeing its source. It is said that the forces are absorbed through the seven stars of the Great Bear. And you can see here the Great Bear, or Ursa Major, as it's also known. And the emanations are of the rays through the Great Bear, through these stars, and they come through into our sun, so that our sun becomes a gateway for these seven rays. It's also known in history and mythology as in India, it's called the seven rishis. And there's a lot of other references to these seven. Okay, here is a very important slide because it shows that our sun, right here, our sun has within it what we call three aspects. The first aspect is the father, or the first aspect known as will. The second one is the love aspect, or consciousness, or the sun, S-O-N. And the third aspect is the intelligence of deity, or the mother aspect. So we have the father who marries the mother who has a son. So you'd have the first and the third giving birth to the second, which is the sun, or consciousness, or love. Now, these three are known as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, and from a Christian perspective. And they then are reflected down into what we call the three rays of aspect. And these three rays are also the same coloring as those three rays of aspect, or rather the three rays of aspect that are part of deity. So the first ray reflects the will aspect. The second ray reflects the love aspect. And the third ray reflects the intelligence aspect. So although they are a reflection, they still have a tremendous amount of power and substance to them. Out of these three, and particularly out of the third ray, come what we call the rays of attribute. There is the fourth ray, the fifth ray, the sixth ray, and the seventh. So all seven rays are in this little chart here. And these seven are reflected in our world in so many different ways. In many ways, we could say it's a very magical number. We have 7 days of the week, seven musical notes, seven colors of a rainbow. There are seven major chakras, seven glands that correspond to the chakras. We know of the seven wonders of the world, the seven states of consciousness, the seven deadly sins. And I'm sure you can think of so many other sevens, like the lucky seven when you throw the dice, and so on. So we're going to go right into the rays now with this very short introduction to where the rays originate from, where we see them out in the heavens. We look out and we see the Great Bear or Ursa Major, and we know that those rays are moving through those stars of that constellation into our sun, into our solar system, and other solar systems as well, but we're only concerned right now with our system. So the first ray is the ray of will or power. It's not will and power, it's will or power. And what is this energy like? Well, we know when we think of power, we think of strength, something strong. Will is very willful, and will goes very direct. It doesn't meander. It doesn't beat around the bush. It's a very direct energy. It's forward moving, and it can be quite piercing. What is its quality like? Well, the first thing I have here is essence. And essence could be described as, I looked it up in the dictionary just so I'd be able to offer other words for essence. And it says soul, it says spirit, it says life, it says principle, it says the core or the center. So it's a wider way of seeing essence. But quintessential is a word that has the word essence in it. And that is also referred to as quality of will and power. So will and power have a lot to do with purpose. When there is a purpose, you know you have the will to carry out that purpose. Has to do with centralization, which is a little bit like essence, right? In the center of all, the sun, for example, in our solar system is in the center of the system and controls it and regulates it and nurtures it as well. Another good word for quality is synthesis. Synthesis is a coming together of everything within that one, brings everything together into the center. So centralization and synthesis. And there are a variety of symbols that we can use to describe the first ray. A seed, because a seed carries with it the potentiality of it blooming and coming forth and growth. A line, which is straight and direct. A lightning bolt, which is very, very powerful. An arrow or a sword. Both, again, have straight lines to them. And an eagle that soars really, really high above the fray, above everything else. And with the eagle eye, can see its prey and really hone down like an arrow to get its prey. Now, the rest of the slides with the first ray are really only photos or pictures to give you a sense of the energy of that first ray. There's very little wording associated with it. You can see the power of an electrical storm or lightning bolt. It is the ray of such dynamic intensity that it is called the ray of the destroyer. Look at the power of that cloud. And again, dynamic power and strength. It's the breath that blasts. How would you like to be on a ship moving towards that? Force, power. Being number one, it is first, and it is therefore the leader and the power that this locomotive has. We have a lion here who represents an animal that we would contribute the first ray to. And it's known as the king. It's the head of the jungle. It's numero uno. It's the leader, the head of the pack. It doesn't even do that much work. It gets the women to do the work. It sits on its mound and rests until it's time to go after the kill. It has to do with strength, with hardness, with majesty, with the power behind that particular rock. And the fearlessness, the courage that it takes to do this kind of climb. First ray is very fearless. I guess that's the end of the first ray. So now we're going to move on to the second ray. I hope this gives you a sense of what that energy is like. So the second ray is called the ray of love, wisdom. And love, first of all, it's an even number. Any even number has a softness associated with it, whereas odd numbers have a hardness associated with it. The energy with love, wisdom is round, soft, round. It radiates like the sun does. The sun radiates its energy out. It's magnetic. It draws to it. It's magnetism, so it absorbs and it draws to it that which is of like energy or that which is very much to do with love and consciousness. It just, you are drawn to, let's say, someone who exudes love and consciousness and a lot of heart. It's receptive to all kinds of thoughts, ideas. They're very open. Now, what is the quality like? As we said, it's attraction. It attracts that, it attracts others. It's inclusive. It includes, and sometimes doesn't know where to draw the line because it can include so much. It's cohesive. It holds together, very much like our cells are held together in our system due to consciousness that holds it all together. And it has a lot to do with light and illumination. The symbols for that second ray are a circle, a heart, right? Because a heart is about love. A spiral, which is upward movement. It's evolution. It moves up and up and up. And we use an owl only because of wisdom. You know, an owl, they say, is wise. Is it really? I don't know. But wisdom, an owl. It's the teaching ray. We're going to move on. So again, mostly pictures here to give you a sense of how to see the energy out in the world. It's heart, or it's the cross. It's the even cross. It's soft. It's circular. It's soft and gentle. And it's nurturing. Caring. It's warm. It's loving. Now, the Buddha in contemplation, he is known as the wisdom side of the second ray, while the Christ is on the love side of the second ray. The two together form the combination of the name of the second ray, love, Christ, wisdom, the Buddha. So it's love, wisdom. And as we said, it is the teaching ray. It's also the healing ray. And and sometimes the second ray, because it absorbs so much and doesn't know where its boundaries sometimes are, it can lead to being a little fearful, a little timid, to worry and to feel inadequate, not as good as what it would love to be. So that's why we have the idea of fearfulness. They're shy, very shy. So if a secondary personality tends to not want to be out there, not want to be in the limelight, where secondary souls are really about love, about teaching, about healing. And that's it for the second ray. We'll move on to the third ray. The third ray is called the ray of creative intelligence. As a matter of fact, I didn't put it on here, but there are three different names for the third ray. Three names. It's creative intelligence. It's the ray of creative adaptability. And it's the ray of, multiplicity or activity. Activity right here, the ray of activity. So you have intelligence, you have activity, you have adaptability. And these are all different qualities of that third ray. Its energy is rotary motion. It goes round and round and round and round and round. And where she stops, nobody knows, right? It can be circuitous, going in different circuits and going around things. It certainly doesn't go in a straight line. It can weave and will adapt to any given situation. And we have all kinds of symbols for the third ray. Of course, anything that's triangle, tripod, any prefix with a tri gives you the idea of three and therefore third ray. A spider web is another good example or symbol for the third ray, because the spider weaves its energy, its strands, and creates this wonderful like mosaic of its web that it creates. A bee busy as a bee. So the word busy is another third ray energy because it's activity. Very busy, always on the go, busy, either in thought or in action. And money is a beautiful symbol for the third ray. One, it's green, like the third ray energy is green. It is, it changes hands. So it's very, very busy going from one to another. It is about commerce and trading. And so money is a perfect, perfect symbol for that third ray. Again, it does not go in a straight line. It meanders. It's nature itself is the third ray. It's the intelligence that's innate in substance itself, in nature itself. We don't have to tell the tree when to start losing its leaves. We don't have to tell a bud of a tree when to start blooming. It's got its own innate intelligence or instinct to know what it needs to do. Nature in itself is green in color. It's not a wonder. It's part of the third ray. And this, I wonder if you can figure out what this is. This is a huge, huge number of flamingos. It's the ray of many, the ray of multiplicity, the ray of motion, activity. This is intelligent activity. They instinctively know where to gather together. No one tells them to do that. Again, the ray of multiplicity. This is grass. There's not one strand of grass. It's all over, and it sacrifices itself so we can actually walk on it. Again, we have the spider weaving, creating its tangents. It's the potentiality that's found in substance itself, which then causes activity. It's known as the bounty of the earth, the plentifulness that the earth provides. All of that is part of the third ray. Third ray is adaptable. It is mutable. It will adapt to whatever the circumstances allows. And in this case, we see the rock formations and how it adapted, probably due to water and pressure, but it's always moving as it needs to move depending on circumstances. It's an economical utilization of all energy and resources. It's the ray of commerce. It's the ray of buying and selling and trading. It's the ray of business. And this is another example of the manyness, the multitudinous within the third ray. It's obviously China, and China is a third ray country, and it's got the largest population in the world. There is muchness in China. Third ray is also ruled by the throat chakra, by Saturn, which conveys the third ray. And it has to do with communication, with how we communicate, how we translate thought or feeling into expressive forms. All our life on the planet communicates. That is the third ray. So languages, the ability to be glib, to be a salesperson, to be a good with philosophy and theory and all these abstract thoughts, because the third ray is also the ray of abstract thought. So here we have another way of seeing business, commerce, and civilization. It is the ray of civilization. So that's the end of the third ray. We're going to move on to the fourth ray, which is part of the parcel of the rays of attributes. The first three rays are, as I said, a reflection of the three aspects of deity: the Father, the Son, and the Mother. So we move on to the fourth ray. It is known as harmony through conflict. So do we see within these words a dichotomy and opposition, harmony, and then there is conflict. So that gives you a very, very good clue as to the energy associated with that fourth ray. It wants to bring together, it wants to unify and bring together, however it is through conflict, to bring unity into something, to bring harmony into something. So it links. It's a linker. It links, as a bridge here links the two different sides. And it tends to oscillate like the pendulum of a clock. You know, it goes back and forth and back, but bringing everything from one end to the other and back again. It is associative. If fourth ray is on the mind and we hear a thought, an idea, we tend to associate it with something else that we already know. So it's associative. The quality is that of equilibrium or harmony. And it wants to bring everything to at one ment, to bring it together, to be at one. And peace is one way of doing it, right? Creating peace. Then there is no conflict. And one of the ways in which it depicts itself is through drama, through the human experience. And we know that humanity suffers. And through drama, we show that suffering. So that is the conflict that humanity lives and therefore is constantly seeking balance and at-one-ment. Some of the symbols would be the bridge, right? Linking the two sides. A seesaw or a pendulum. Scales of justice. The tragedy and comedy masks. Or, of course, the artist's palette that can create beautiful things through its imagination, fourth ray, through its creativity, also fourth ray, and pageantry, also fourth ray. It wants peace, no matter how you look at it, so that there is no fighting, war, and conflict. But remember, it's two sides, so it's got the opposite within it as well. It's continually seeking peace. Or balance. And again, it wants to bring harmony, equilibrium, and balance to every situation. It links, it bridges, it brings together for at one ment. Now here's a rainbow bridge, and many times we use the rainbow bridge to symbolize for us the Antakarana. And the Antakarana is the bridge that we build within ourselves from one area of consciousness to the other area of consciousness, from our everyday way of being to, let's say, our soul. So we bridge from the personality to the soul, and eventually from the soul to the higher self, or through the up to the causal body or the egoic lotus, and then up even further to higher mind and so on and so forth, to Buddhi, and without getting too technical. But it is the bridge that brings us higher and higher and higher. It is the ray of beauty, the ray of color, in all its shapes and in all its forms. It can be subtle and refined or bold. So if you think of countries that show that boldness, that would give you an idea of the ray that governs that country. And I'm thinking right away of India. India with all its saris and all its colors and its clothing. And it has the opposites within it. It has the very, very poor that are suffering, that are on the streets, and the very, very rich that live in palatial kinds of residences. Opposites, comedy, tragedy. Depicted for us in drama, depicted for us in movies that we go to, in plays, in literature, in poetry. Conflict and dissonance are part of the human condition. We work very hard at trying to bring peace and harmony to most situations. Otherwise, it can turn out like this. The fourth ray creates peace out of conflict through mediation. This was the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. It governs the arts, all forms of the arts, whether it's art itself, whether it's music, whether it's theater, movies, any form of the arts is governed by the fourth ray. It entertains. Fourth ray entertains. Fourth ray expresses humor. Those that have a strong fourth ray in them, they love to tell stories. They love to be the hit of the party, either entertaining or telling a funny story, or dragging it out, making it very dramatic. The fourth ray, one of the names for it is the trumpet of the Lord. And the fourth ray governs the human kingdom. So we all will relate to the fourth ray, whether the fourth ray is part of our constitution or not. It governs the human. We are in the middle kingdom. There are as well seven kingdoms. So you start with the mineral kingdom, move up to the next kingdom, which would be the animal kingdom. Then we move up to the vegetable kingdom, then the animal kingdom, and then the human kingdom. Then we have the kingdom of souls and the higher kingdoms after that. But that's basically why we relate so well to that human kingdom. And that's the end of the fourth ray. We'll move on to the fifth ray. The fifth ray, number five, is not an even number. So it's not about being soft. It's more on the hard lines. And it is known as concrete knowledge or science. Its energy is that which takes apart, it dissects, and it likes to do things in a sequential order. In other words, a methodology. I go from one to the second, to the third, to the fourth. And you can see people as they write notes, a lot of them would number them or put point in a point form. It usually speaks to the fifth ray. They like something linear and sequential, going in order. It likes to shine the light on anything, on a situation, on an experiment that it wants to understand. It shines the light in order to know. It's that simple. The light reveals, and when there is revelation, there's a greater understanding. So it can probe. It can go very, very deep into research, deep in science, to want to understand and uncover the mysteries associated with not knowing. So those are really good words for the fifth ray. And how does it use this energy? What is this quality like? It's methodical. It uses a method, and science uses a method. It's specific, it's specificity. So there's no ambiguity here. It is based on a tried and true. It uses the mind, it discriminates. And again, lucidity, because it shines the light on things. It has to be clear. It has to have light associated with it. And it is detached. In order to be a good scientist, you have to be an observer. And as an observer, you cannot have a stake in the results of any experiment. As soon as you do and you're emotionally connected, then the experiment will never work, because you can't be objective. So it is very detached, the fifth ray. And there isn't really feelings associated with true experimentation. Some symbols for the fifth ray would be a test tube. Again, we're looking at science here. A computer, it has all the chips, all the little pieces, everything that come together to make it whole, to make it work. And it takes a fifth ray kind of mind or personality to put all of that together. Another good symbol is a light bulb, because the light bulb shines the light on a situation. In the dark, you are in the dark. You don't see. When the light shines on it, there's revelation. And a laser or a microscope is used to see the little small thing and to shine light on it. Lasers right now are used in all areas, and I'm thinking also of medicine. It's used in so many surgical procedures. So we're going to look at some photos here. The symbol is a brain. A brain is a good one because, again, everything is computed in the brain. A laser, a test tube, a ruler, a calculator, a protractor, a microscope, a computer, as we've said, the five senses. It's interesting that it is number five, right? All our senses, that they feed our minds with what's out in the material world. A square, which is, even though it's four-sided, it has to do with understanding what that represents. And of course, the light bulb. And fifth ray wants to know. That's what drives the fifth ray. Hence, they will experiment or invent things through their understanding, they will invent more and more apparati or instruments to find out what it is that they don't know, what they want to know. So therefore they question everything. If you have ever been in a classroom where someone is constantly asking a question and another question and another question, it's because they want to understand, they want to know, but that's a dead giveaway that there must be fifth ray on the mind there. Sequencing, again, they go in order in a sequence. They repeat to get the same results, and it's predictable. There's no ambiguity here. Everything is predictable. So research and investigation is very much a fifth ray kind of science. Look at the parts in order to understand the whole, to investigate. It is proof oriented and methodical. Fifth ray types tend not to believe in anything that's quite esoteric, for example, like ghosts or that which is the unknown, or spirits or anything like that, because that can't be proven. And it's part of the empirical process to want to know things that can be proved. It investigates, it researches, it tries to figure things out. And lists, it likes to make lists. Again, the sequence of things, the numbering, the methodology to try to understand or to know. So if you know someone that wants to buy a car and they write down all the things that come with that car and compare it with another car, it gives them a basis. And this is part of the way a fifth ray mind works, as opposed to going in there and say, oh, I love this. I love the color and I like the way it feels. They're much more scientific in their approach. It's the ray of the mystery and the mysteries of life and uncovering those mysteries. It is the ray of technical and of technicians, of working well in practical matter, putting things together, taking them apart, and making good utility out of what they are working with. It provides the drive to invent, to improve functionality for practical reasons. It is about instruments used with precision and accuracy. This leads to becoming a specialist, and the specialist is in any field, not necessarily medicine or dentistry, can be a specialist in any area. One has to do the research. One has to know the subject really, really well, all the details. I don't think I would like to have a first ray type working on my body in medicine. I would like to have a fifth ray type because that's what they're trained for. First ray looks for the easiest method out, for most direct way, and will not understand the precision that is required that the fifth ray uses. Fifth ray delineates, it names, it categorizes. It defines and it brings discrimination and specificity to things. I know a lot of people, then when they write, they start out with definitions for certain words. That's fifth ray. And we all use a little bit of each ray. And so the trick is to find out what ray really is dominant within us, on the personality, and then eventually on the soul. And the personality is made up of the physical form, the emotional form, and of course, the mental form. And all of that together, integrated, creates the personality. We move on to the sixth ray, which is the ray of idealism and devotion. Now that too will tell you a great deal about the sixth ray. Again, it's an even number, so there's a softness associated with it. When you are devoted to something or someone, you are in love with that something or someone. So energy, it's upward. Anything that is an ideal or even a devotion of some kind holds someone high on a pedestal, right? So it's an upward kind of way of looking at things. It's uplifting. It can be very, very intense when you are devoted to something. There's intensity associated with it and one pointedness. And it, because of that devotion, it's unswerving. The quality is loyalty, humility, sacrifice, faith, and optimism. So you can see that the United States being symbolized for us with the Statue of Liberty here, and even that is held high, right? It's held high, like the sixth ray is. So the France kind of, with its third and fifth ray energy, understood that and gave this gift to the United States, and it characterized the American energy very, very well. We have praying hands because it has to do with faith. And a flag is also a good symbol. Why do we have a dog and a horse as a symbol for the sixth ray? Because they are devoted to their master. They look up to the master. A halo represents someone who is saintly, someone who is very pure. And rose and lilies are good symbols for that sixth ray. Again, this is the Christ in Brazil, held high on a very high peak. So holding the ideal for humanity, inspiring humanity, uplifting them. So this is Mahatma Gandhi's picture in the background and King Jr. Faith in all forms. Doesn't matter what the religion, what the faith is, all forms of faith. And it can be very awe-inspiring. Loyalty, including patriotism. Sixth ray is about passion. Being passionate. And see, as I'm saying these words, you can almost feel the emotions connected with that sixth ray. It's very emotional. It believes in something. It's got its convictions, and it's very emotional. And many times it can be blind to its loyalties, which lead to wars, as we know. Sixth ray of devotion is the ray of service. And so many religious people, nuns and priests and monks and gurus, very, very devoted and very service oriented. And they have followers. One who follows is usually the sixth ray type. It's selfless and a lot of personal sacrifice. It's our heroes. Our heroes are held high, are they not? They are the ideal. That's what people strive for. It is the ray of purity. It is the ray of the ideal perfection. The ray of simplicity, of the profound, the unimaginable and the sacred. Which can lead to a life of austerity, a life of simplicity. As many in the church are supposed to lead that kind of life. It is the ray of the transcendent. Now, when you're so passionate about your beliefs, whatever they are, it can lead to wanting to struggle and fight for what you believe in, which leads to fighting, which leads to being the warrior or militarism, to be militant about what you believe in. You fight for what you believe in. And in history, we have seen this with all the wars and all the conquests. It can be so one-pointed that it can lead to narrowness and the inability to see a wider point of view. Sixth ray example is the horse with blinders on. When there are blinders, you do not have peripheral vision. You don't have the full picture. You have just the narrow point of view that is in front of you. It's the ray of forward motion, of speed and impulsive action. So forward motion and speed is also associated with the first ray. Remember, it was going forward, it's fast, it goes direct, but it's not impulsive, whereas sixth ray is impulsive. Impulse has to do with the feeling nature, the desire nature that takes hold. And horses are very much a sixth ray animal. But it's also the ray of optimism, of buoyancy, laughter, and a positive attitude. You know, Sagittarius is a sixth ray sign, and many Sagittarians will say, "Oh, it'll work out. It'll all be okay." Or they're always late because they always think that they're going to be there on time because they believe that they will, and they're so optimistic, and that's part of the sixth ray. See, even the hands here are held high because something about upliftment, something about positivity. It's coaching and teamwork. Rah, rah, rah. How many countries rah, rah, rah during Independence Day or the flag and so on? So that's the end of the sixth ray. We're going to move on to the seventh, the last and final ray. It is known as the ray of ceremonial order or magic. Its energy is rhythmic. It goes in a rhythm. It's cyclical, and it builds upon one upon the other. So like a calendar is very rhythmic. It's got a cycle, and we build from January right up to the end of the year. And its quality is order. It's in the name, ceremonial order. And it transforms. It deals with form, with the most concrete of all of the signs. So anything that has the word form in it is usually a seventh ray word. So transform, formality, uniform. Trying to think of other form names. Sometimes I've got a mouthful full of them, and right now I can't think of too many words that have form. Anyway, it also leads to a ritual of sorts, because if you follow an order of sorts, there's a ritual. You do the same thing again and again. It is also the symbol or the sign for magic. Magic is making something out of nothing. And what is making something out of nothing? It is having a thought and materializing, making that thought actually happen. That is making something out of nothing. Symbol is a magic wand, a crystal, a map, or a compass. There's a sequential way of having an order. Patterns in nature create order. And we'll see that in just a few photos. I didn't bring a lot here, so there's just a few in order to see that. Again, the honeycomb is a beautiful example of how nature creates the uniformity or the pattern built into form. Design. So many seventh grade people find themselves involved in designing and decorating and beautification, creating structures that will allow the divine to move through the structure in order to be seen. Seventh ray creates order. So it can go into a messy room and just create an order. It is the ray of creating structures, creating architecture, building the form to allow the divine to come through that form. Some forms are beautiful in their structure. Some forms are quite ugly. Works with puzzles, wanting to make them whole, to work with the little bits and pieces, very much like a fifth ray does, but it does it in a different way. It is efficient, orderly, systematic, and sequential, very much like the fifth ray, right? We use those words with the fifth ray, but the fifth ray wants to see the smallness, this particular, in order to understand the whole. The seventh just wants to bring order into life, which leads again to formality, to ritual, to pomp and ceremony. And we all have our rituals, do we not? When we get up in the morning, what do? We brush our teeth, we wash up, we have breakfast or get dressed. We all go through our own rituals, some to a greater degree than others. It is about the perfection of the form. They want to make the form perfect. And you can see this in the sculpture. Now we have the same photo for the fourth ray, which governs the arts, but the seventh ray is about perfecting that art. It's about the grace and the poise that that particular art brings out. It is that which is delicate, that which is, it beautifies that particular art. Coordination, rhythm, timing. Interesting that seventh ray is one of the rays of Russia. And Russia, as we know, does so well in all kinds of world competitions on the physical plane, whether it be gymnastics or swimming or even hockey, ballet. It just does beautiful things with its bodies. It's because of the seventh ray. The seventh ray likes to be trained and can follow instructions and can translate it into the form. It is also the ray of the craftsman or the artisan. It brings shape and utility to the form. So certain patterns that are created are very much seventh ray. Now, this is of the mineral kingdom. So the seventh ray, which is again, the patterns created in nature, and the first ray, which is, remember, the hardness, the majesty, the power of the first ray. Those two rays, seven and one, govern the mineral kingdom. More about the mineral kingdom. It's the hardest of all the kingdoms, right? Seventh ray has a lot to do with formality. And we have Martha Stewart here as an example of how to set a table, how to be as formal as you can be. It's about propriety. It's about grace, delicacy, functionality. Seventh ray people, when they set a table, there's perfection in the way it's set. You know, all the cutlery is laid out in a particular way. The plates are perfect. There's a centerpiece, napkins, et cetera, et cetera. It rules the court of law. So those that follow rules They obey the law, and it rules law and order. Even the word order is part of the seventh ray. So law would be the first ray. Law is the closest to deity, brings down from deity the principles that are required to create law. And then there is order. So law and order is usually associated with the courts. Seventh ray is about city planning or map making. Remember, nature is green. So we have all these green pictures here. But the ray of ecology is associated with the seventh ray, and that is maintaining the earth and keeping it healthy, keeping it looking beautiful, and recycling, which is a seventh ray as well as a third ray energy to recycle. It governs the etheric field, the electromagnetic energy. And there are cameras, as you can see, that will show the electromagnetic field around the body. It is said that even if a limb is amputated, with this particular camera, it would still show the full limb being there because the etheric is there previously or before the form is built upon the etheric. So the etheric is first and then the form is second. It governs the devas or the elementals or the angels. This is by Hodgson, the whole book, The Knowledge of God, something like that. These are depicted from his book. He could see them and therefore he drew them in this way. I don't know if there's anything else. No, I think that's it. So there you have an overview of the seven rays so that you can familiarize yourself with some of the energies. And hopefully when you come to the conference, you'll have a bit of a background. Thank you very much.